अथ गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यश यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Ras Bihare, Radha Ras Bihare Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Prabhupad. Nita Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nita Gaura Hari Bol. Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivraj Kacharya Shtotar Sat His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum langhayate girim Yat kripatam aham vande Shri Gurum dinatarinam Vancha kalpataro bhyascha Kripa sindho bhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Namo maha vadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम्। आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम्। रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधू वर्गेणया कल्पिता। श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमाप्पुमर्थो महान्। श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदम् तत्रावदरहन परः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगे राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम वंस अगेन दिस इवनिंग फॉर ग्लोरिफिकेशन ऑफ लॉर्ड शिवा, द ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ वैष्णवस। यस्टरडे वी ब्रीफली टॉक्ड अबाउट द शिवरात्रि फेस्टिवल। We also described how Lord Shiva is the greatest of all devotees. He is a Vaishnava, and therefore we must worship him in that way, not considering him to be an independent Lord. He himself does not like it, and in fact he is very pleased when we worship Krishna. And very often, and we saw some instances yesterday, Lord Shiva himself directs his worshipper or even any other innocent seeker of the truth on to Lord Krishna. This is his mercy. So Lord Shiva, being a great Vaishnava, is not recognized as such by everyone. Some people simply approach him as a demigod, seeking some material benefits. And Lord Shiva, wearing the hat of a demigod at that time, then reciprocates with them because he is obliged. Just like, for example, there may be a devotee, and the devotee may be, let's say, a police officer or a judge or something like that. Now, the devotee has a certain function as a devotee. The devotee may be sitting here in this assembly, hearing and chanting about the Lord. But when that devotee is performing his official function, sometimes he is obliged to do certain things, which he may not do when he is in the temple. Similarly, acting as a demigod is one of the official functions that Lord Shiva performs. And according to that official function, when worshippers approach him, then he is somewhat obliged to satisfy their requests. And as we also saw yesterday, that he is Ashutosh. He is very easily pleased. And he gives so many kinds of benedictions. Whatever his worshippers ask, he gives those benedictions to them. And often it lands even Lord Shiva in trouble. It creates trouble for others also. So this is where we ended yesterday, with a few stories and a few examples also. We concluded with Lord Brahma being quoted from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, glorifying Lord Shiva
that when he, that is Brahma, granted benedictions to Hiranyakashipu, and so much trouble happened because of that, and the Lord had to come as Narasimhadev, after killing Narasimhadev, then Lord Narasimhadev mildly rebuked Brahma. He scolded him. You should not give such benedictions like this. Just see how much trouble it causes. Now I have to come and sort out the problem. But when Lord Shiva gave the boons to Vrikasur, Brahma says, at that time, Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu did not chastise him. He spoke very sweetly to him. He said, "O Lord Shiva, you are the greatest of all devotees. You are such a great exalted personality. You are the greatest Mahajan. And because this evil Vrikasur had dared to offend you in this way, so he has met his just fate. Anyone who offends a great personality like you is doomed to destruction. So just because of your powers, this Asura today stands destroyed." He gave all the credit to Lord Shiva. Although Lord Shiva actually had to seek the Lord's shelter when Vrikasura ran after him. Brahma also continued thereafter that once upon a time when the demons and the demigods were churning the milk ocean and they wanted nectar, many things came out. But one of the things to come out was a deadly poison. And no one could accept that. It was on the verge of destroying the whole creation. Now, Lord Krishna was present there in many forms. He was present as the Kurma avatar, as Ajita on top of the hill, and so on. But when the matter came to his notice, he said, "You call Lord Shiva, because he is so powerful. He will be able to solve your problem of this poison." And then Lord Shiva came. He cupped all the poison into his palm and then he partook of it and preserved it in his throat, which is why he is called as Neelkantha. So Brahma is saying that when Krishna was personally present there at that time in more than one avatar, why did Krishna not do this? Simply by Krishna's glance, he could have converted the poison into nectar. But still, he wanted to give the credit to Lord Shiva. He wanted to show the world how great is Lord Shiva. That is why he actually told the demigods and the asuras to approach Lord Shiva. So Brahma is saying, this is the quality of Lord Shiva. He is much more exalted than I am. In this way, Brahma went on glorifying Lord Shiva. Even though, as far as the ways of this world are concerned, Brahmaji is supposed to be Lord Shiva's father. Because when Brahma's four sons, the four Kumaras, they were young men, they were bachelors, and Brahma wanted them to marry and to procreate so that the universe could be populated. An empty universe is no good. But the four Kumaras refused to cooperate with their father's wish. They wanted to become brahmacharis and join the brahmachari ashram of Radha Ras Bihari temple. And their father was unhappy. He wanted them to be grihasthas. So then, although he's a self-realized sage, but he was a father. So sometimes when devotees are parents or grihasthas, they have certain attachments and certain weaknesses. So Brahmaji became a little angry. He managed to control himself, but the anger concentrated between his eyebrows and came out in the form of Rudra, of Lord Shiva. And because he was crying, Rodati, so his name became Rudra, or Lord Shiva. And then he asked for a place to stay and he was given a place. So this is the way in which Lord Shiva appeared within this universe. And therefore Brahma is called the father of Lord Shiva. But nevertheless, actually Lord Shiva is superior to Lord Brahma. It is only for the sake of appearing in this world that great personalities have to come in a certain way. Just like when the Lord himself comes, he also comes in extraordinary ways sometimes. Like Varahadev, he appeared through the nostril of Brahma, and Brahma himself could not understand what this entity was. It came out as a small entity through his nostril, and he was surprised, what is that coming out through my nostril? And it became bigger and bigger and bigger, and then everyone finally understood that this is none other than Lord Vishnu. But does it mean then that because Brahma is technically Lord Varaha's father, that he is greater than Varahadev? No. The Lord and sometimes his empowered personalities may appear in the world in this method. Some unusual way they may accept. But we must understand the tattva or the truth or the principle that actually Lord Shiva is greater than Lord Brahma. Usually Lord Brahma is a jiva. A jiva means an individual spirit soul like you and me. But a very exceptionally qualified jiva. Very, very qualified, extremely pious. And Shiva is not a jiva. He is somewhat in between. Shiva's situation is unique. So his tattva is in a separate category called Shiva tattva. We as individual souls, we are in the category of jiva tattva. The Lord is in a category of Vishnu tattva. Krishna and his Vishnu expansions are all God. And we are all his tiny parts and parcels, the jivas. But Lord Shiva is neither a jiva, nor is he the Supreme Lord. He is something in between. He is actually such a unique category because he shares some qualities of the Lord and some qualities of the jivas. So he is midway between here and between the Lord and the jivas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatan Goswami the different qualities of Krishna, he mentions that there are 50 qualities that Krishna has in completeness. These qualities exist in Krishna like the deep ocean. For example, he's very learned, he's a genius, and so on. So many qualities like this, 50 qualities. And then Mahaprabhu says, Jiveshvapi vasantopi bindu bindu taya kuchit paripurnataya bhati tatraiva purushottame. He says that the jivas, they also partake of these 50 qualities that Krishna has, but in very minute quantity. Bindu bindu taya, like drop. Bindu is a drop. Bindu bindu taya means like a droplet, not even the part of a drop, a very tiny, tiny fraction of Krishna's 50 qualities appear in the jivas like you and me, and that also not all the time. Kvachit. Kvachit means sometimes. So sometimes in one jiva, one quality of Krishna may appear a little more, and sometimes another quality may appear. But even when those qualities appear, they are very tiny. So the jiva can never be compared to Krishna. Now Lord Shiva has these 50 qualities also. Krishna has these 50 qualities in perfection. The jivas have it in very atomic quantity. Lord Shiva has much more in quantity of these 50 qualities than the individual jivas do. But he doesn't have anything near what Krishna has in terms of these 50 qualities. Anshena Girishadishu. Girish is Shiva. So he has these qualities only very partly. But what are these extra five qualities now that Lord Shiva has? He has these 50 and plus he has five, which are not to be found in the individual jivas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Sada Swarupa Samprapta Sarvagyo Nitya Nutanaha Satchidananda Sandranga Sarvasiddhi Nishevitaha. He said these five extra qualities are in Lord Shiva, which do not exist even in the jiva. But these five qualities exist also anshena, partly. Krishna also has these five qualities, but Shiva has them in smaller quantity. Sada swarupa sampraptaha, he is always situated in his original position. This is Lord Krishna's quality in perfection. Shiva shares with that, but to a much lesser degree. The jivas don't share that at all, because we fall into the material world. So sada swarupa sampraptaha, sarvagya. Krishna is sarvagya, means he is all knowing. So Lord Shiva shares a little bit of that quality, which jivas don't. We are not all knowing. Nutanaha, Lord Krishna is ever youthful, ever fresh. You never see a picture of Krishna in old age, Krishna with white hair. Similarly, Lord Shiva is also eternally fresh and youthful. His youthfulness is a smaller degree than that Krishna has. Satchidananda Sandrangaha. Sandra means concentrated, Anga means body. So Krishna's body, he has a body also, but Krishna's body is not like our body. Krishna's body is a concentrated form of Satchidananda, of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So Lord Shiva shares this quality a little bit. His form is also something like that. Sarva Siddhi Nishevitaha. Krishna possesses all mystic powers in perfection. So Shiva also has some of that. In this way, Shiva has 55 qualities. Krishna has them in perfection. Shiva has them partly. There are five more qualities that Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha has that Lord Shiva doesn't have. And there are four extra qualities that Lord Krishna has that even Lord Narayan doesn't have. In other words, Lord Krishna has 64 qualities in perfection. And Lord Shiva has 55 qualities. So in a couple of places, Srila Prabhupada in his purports does some arithmetic. And he says the jivas can at the most be 77% of Krishna. Why is that 77%? 50 divided by 64 into 100. Those of you who are good in arithmetic, you can see. If you have your calculators, you can see. Then Lord Shiva is 84% of Krishna. In what sense? Even when Lord Shiva's powers are up to the maximum that he can possibly have, he cannot exceed 84%. Why? 55 divided by 64 into 100. Lord Narayan is 90 plus, because he is 60 divided by 64 into 100. And Krishna is 100%. So anyway, this is Lord Shiva's position in relationship to Krishna and in relationship to the jivas. So he's sharing some of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, and he also shares some of the qualities of the jivas. Some of the qualities of the jivas that he has are basically the limitedness of the jivas. We are very limited, tiny entities. So some of the limitedness of the jivas he has, some of the qualities of cognition and bliss, that is Satchidananda, he shares with Lord Krishna to some degree. And there is a third quality that distinguishes Lord Shiva from the others, and that is that he is in contact with Durga or Maya, who is his wife, his consort, who is material nature. And because of that touch that Lord Shiva has with Maya, Therefore, he is not in the position of Krishna or Vishnu. He is in a separate category. So these are three reasons why we see that Lord Shiva is unique. He is separate from Vishnu, he is separate from the Jivas. And because he is in touch with Maya, and this world is predominantly the mode of ignorance, he is also called a Guna Avatar. As you know, there are three Gunas, Sattva Guna, Raja Guna and Tamo Guna. Lord Vishnu is in charge of the mode of goodness in this world. Lord Brahma is in charge of the mode of passion. And Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance. So because Lord Shiva is in touch with the mode of ignorance, being the director of that mode, he is sometimes slightly influenced by it, very slightly. But Krishna is never influenced. When Krishna or Vishnu assumes a form where he touches Maya, he becomes Shiva. So what is the difference between Krishna between Vishnu and Shiva? When Vishnu assumes a form that touches Maya, that is Shiva. But Vishnu or Krishna will never touch Maya. They are always aloof. That is how Lord Shiva is again a special category. Brahma himself has described, Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatah prithagasti heto yah shambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyad govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma says that I worship Lord Govinda, the Supreme Lord, who can be compared to milk, kshiram. And Lord Shiva can be compared to yogurt or curd. Now, milk and yogurt are one and the same. At the same time, they are also different. We can't say that curd is not milk, because curd has come from milk. You just add a drop of lime and then it becomes curd. So you can't say that curd is not milk. At the same time, you can't say that curd is milk. So curd is simultaneously one and different from milk. In the same way, Lord Shiva is like curd or yogurt, and Lord Krishna or Vishnu is like milk. One and different simultaneously. This is the principle that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. That is why it is so important to understand absolute reality through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. Then everything becomes crystal clear. There are many definitions of a Vaishnava. One of the definitions of a Vaishnava is that a Vaishnava knows who is who and what is what. Very simple definition. He knows who is Krishna, who is Vishnu, who is Shiva, who are the Jivas, who is Brahma. That Vaishnava knows all these categories and their relative positions, so there is no confusion. Otherwise, modern day Hinduism, why is it criticized by people of other religions? They say that they have so many gods. Because modern day common popular Hinduism is a very confused situation. Everything is worshipped, everyone is worshipped, nobody really clearly knows who is who and what is what. But when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, and when we read Srila Prabhupada's various books explaining the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everything becomes crystal clear. So what is it? Just like when the lime drop or drop of acid drops into the milk, it becomes curd. So what is it that makes Krishna into Shiva? It is a touch with Maya. Because Krishna can't do that, or Vishnu can't do that. So when he wants to touch Maya for the sake of functions in the material world, then he becomes Shiva. This is the reality. So Shiva has many hats. Number one, he is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Number two, he is simultaneously one and different from Krishna like curd and yolk and milk. So he's an expansion of the Lord who is in touch with Maya. The third is that he is a guna avatar of Krishna. He is in charge of the mode of ignorance. The fourth hat he wears is that he is a demigod who gives benedictions to his worshippers. And as a Vaishnava, he also has a fifth hat. And that is that he is the founder of a sampradaya, the Rudra sampradaya. There are four Vaishnava sampradayas. We follow the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya. But followers of Vallabhacharya come in the line of Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami comes in the line of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva has inaugurated an entire Vaishnava sampradaya. So we can understand that he is the original Vaishnava Acharya. He is also considered as one of the 12 Mahajans in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So is Lord Shiva a demigod or is he not a demigod? Now there is an injunction in the scriptures about the prasadam of the demigods. Now I will ask you one question. Should you as a devotee of Krishna accept the prasadam, the food that is offered to a demigod? Should you accept it and eat it? How many people say no? Okay. How many people say yes? Actually the answer is, generally speaking, no. Haridas Thakur clearly says, quoting the different scriptures, that in general we should not take food that has been offered to the demigods. But Lord Shiva, is he a demigod? Not a demigod. What is he? So if someone offers food to Lord Shiva, should you accept that prasad and eat it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, there is also a no. Yes and no. So there is a story in this regard. It is narrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate Murari Gupta. It appears in the Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. As I mentioned yesterday, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to travel, wherever he came across a temple of Lord Shiva, he would go inside, offer obeisances. In fact, after he took sannyas, he went to South India and then to Western India and then back to Jagannath Puri. And on the way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he visited many, many holy places of Lord Shiva, like Kalahasti, Sri Shaila, Shivakanchi, Bhubaneswar and so on. And in every place, he made it a point to go to that place of Lord Shiva and he offered his obeisances in Lord Shiva's temple to Lord Shiva. Without a fail. So it goes to show Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should never disrespect Lord Shiva. We should follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We must offer respects, understanding Lord Shiva to be a great Vaishnava. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the course of his travels came to Bhubaneswar, he went to the temple there. Bhubaneswar is also the name of Lord Shiva actually. It is the capital city of Orissa state. It is Lord Shiva. There is a famous temple of Lord Shiva there. So Lord Shiva first took bath in the Bindu Sarovar and with great eagerness he came to have darshan of Lord Shiva in the temple. And he was praying while thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. May I get the Mahaprasad of the glorious Lord Mahadev. He was thinking in his mind like that. And then when he was in the temple, immediately the pujari came and said, here is the Mahaprasadam of Mahadev. So with great joy, Mahaprabhu accepted, he touched it to his head and he actually partook of that Mahaprasadam. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one associate. His name was Damodar Pandit. Most of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost everyone, was very submissive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, they were sometimes very afraid of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No question of talking back to him or to instruct him. But Damodar Pandit was a different situation. Of course, it was out of love, but he had a very special relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would often scold Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are a sannyasi and you are doing like this? It's not good. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would actually be afraid of Damodar Pandit's rebukes, and he would make sure that he would behave properly as Damodar Pandit wanted. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ideal example of proper behavior. But nevertheless, as a pastime out of submission to the love of his devotee, Damodar Pandit, he acted in this way sometimes. So when Damodar Pandit came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had eaten the Mahaprasad of Lord Mahadev, he began to speak. He said, "How is it that the Lord has eaten Mahaprasadam of Shiva? We are not supposed to eat like that." And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the episode that Bhrigu Muni has cursed the worshippers of Lord Shiva. Now the reference here is to a very famous celebrated pastime that took place many, many ages ago, and that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the father of Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, whose name was Daksha Prajapati, he had organized a huge yajna and a sacrifice, a festival, and he invited everyone except his daughter and son-in-law, Lord Shiva. And Sati could not hold herself back. Even though she was not invited, she felt that, after all, it's my father's house, so what is wrong if I go? So she went, and she was not properly received. So in great anger, she burnt herself. That's why the term Sati comes up. Yes? So she burnt herself by her mystic powers. When Lord Shiva heard this, he was very angry. Lord Shiva's followers went ahead and created havoc in the assembly. There was cursing and counter-cursing that went on. It's a big story. We won't go into that in detail. But in the course of the cursing and counter-cursing, the other party that was in Daksha's side, they cursed the followers of Lord Shiva, that anyone who follows Lord Shiva will be doomed, will become an atheist if you worship Lord Shiva. So these curses were going on. So Damodar Pandit remembered this, and he said that by accepting the prasad of Shiva like this, the curse of Bhrigu Muni will take effect. So how did the Lord do this? Then Murari Gupta, the childhood friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explained, "My dear Damodar Pandit, don't you know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is perfect in every respect in terms of his conduct? He is doing what he does for the sake of teaching everyone in this world. Don't you know that Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas? And that there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's devotee? Honoring Krishna is to honor the devotee. Honoring the devotee means to honor Krishna. You cannot separate the two, and one who distinguishes them commits an offense. One who accepts the Mahaprasadam of Lord Shiva, when it is offered with devotion, understanding him to be a great Vaishnava, attains devotion to Krishna very quickly. And one who refuses such thing is doomed. He will not be able to progress in his devotional life. But, O Damodar Pandit, if someone offers Lord Shiva some bhoga, some food, with the conception that Lord Shiva is an independent Lord, then the curse of Bhrigu Muni will take effect." So in other words, if anyone worships Lord Shiva or offers him food with his dualistic conception. Dualistic conception means thinking Lord Shiva as an independent God. Krishna is independent, Shiva is independent. Krishna is of course independent, but Lord Shiva is not. He is dependent on Lord Krishna. So if somebody worships Lord Shiva in that mentality, then the food that he offers to Lord Shiva is also affected by that mentality. So when we partake of that prasadam, then we also get affected. In the same way as when we take Krishna prasadam, then we get infected, so to speak, by Krishna's love. So when a pure devotee offers food to Krishna with full devotion, Krishna more happily accepts it than when the food is offered with less devotion. The greater the devotion with which the food is offered to Krishna, the more happily Krishna accepts it, and the more potent, the more powerful that prasadam becomes, that mahaprasad. So when we accept that mahaprasad, then we actually get great strength, spiritual strength. Similarly, the conception that is behind, that is in the mind of the offerer or the worshipper of Lord Shiva, is very important. If a Vaishnava offers food to Lord Shiva, that prasadam we must honor. But if a non-Vaishnava offers food to Lord Shiva, we don't know what is his conception. How is he thinking about Lord Shiva? Then yes, we may not. We may just offer respect from a distance. So this is the intricacy or the subtle part about this. So just see how important it is for Lord Shiva to be understood in the right way. Sometimes people say that Lord Ram, when he went to South India at Rameshwaram, he worshipped the Shiva Linga, he worshipped Lord Shiva. That is proof that Lord Shiva is superior to Lord Ram. Have you heard that? Many people will say like this. And therefore Lord Shiva is called Rameshwar, the Lord of Lord Ram. So he is the Lord of Ram. So this is how they say it. But what is our answer? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given a very nice explanation. He explains that there are several reasons why Lord Ram did that. First of all, he wanted to teach a lesson to the humanity at large. Because Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam. He is the Supreme Lord, but he has descended into this world playing the role of an ideal human being. So as a human being, he has to act like a human being. He has to offer respects to Lord Shiva. He has to offer respects to even to the demigods. So even Lord Krishna did like that. Lord Ram also did like that. Ram is God directly. So in order to set an example and teach humanity at large, Lord Shiva was worshipped by Lord Ram at Rameshwaram. The second reason is that Lord Shiva is the devotee of Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. The Lord often likes to serve his devotees. This is a reciprocation of love. This is a relationship between the Lord and his devotee. The devotee loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord and please him. And the Lord becomes so bound by the love of the devotee that he also wants to serve the devotee and to please him. So there is a transcendental competition between God and his devotee. Both try to serve each other. It's a very wonderful, happy competition. Not like the competition of this world, where we try to pull other people down. So this is a divine competition. So the Lord likes to serve his devotees. And as we mentioned yesterday, Lord Krishna has said very clearly that he who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, but he who is a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. So Lord Krishna or Lord Ram wants to show us how important it is for us to serve devotees. So the Lord wants to say, I am serving my devotees, so why can't you serve my devotees? That is the point that he wants to make. In fact, we can see that Lord Krishna also worshipped Sudama, didn't he? And he worshipped him in such a way, he made him sit on his own bed, he washed his feet, He did arati, he performed arati for Sudama, he was fanning him. He did all these simple menial services for Sudama. But does it mean that Sudama is God? And that Krishna is inferior to Sudama? No. Out of love, the Lord does these things. The third reason that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives is that simply because Ram worshipped Shiva, it doesn't mean that Shiva is superior to Ram. If that is a logic that is used, then we must say that the ocean is superior to Ram, because when Ram reached the ocean, he first of all worshipped the ocean. So does the ocean become God because Lord Ram worshipped? No. Because Ram was playing the role of an ordinary human being. So he offered his respects to the ocean and to the demigod in charge of the ocean. Just as Krishna also worshipped Sudama. But that does not mean that Shiva is superior to Lord Ram or to Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. So this is how we understand it. So there is no contradiction in the minds of devotees, even if Lord Shiva was actually worshipped like this by Lord Ram. Actually, this pastime doesn't appear in the Valmiki Ramayana. It is there described in other places. So in any case, this is Lord Shiva's position. His glories are sung throughout the scriptures. He is called by so many wonderful names: Chandramouli, Chandrashekhar, Gangadhar, and so on. So let's talk about a few pastimes, some stories which have resulted in the Lord having such names. Do you know why Lord Shiva is called Chandramouli or Chandrashekhar? He has the moon on his head. Why does he have the moon on his head? Yes? Because he wants to cool. The moon is very cooling. Yes, we will need, because we get hot-headed sometimes. So we need the cooling influence of the moon, but Lord Shiva is not like that. So there is a story behind this. We come back again to Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati had many, many daughters. Because he was a Prajapati, his very function was to populate the universe. Because at the time of creation, in the beginning of creation, there was hardly anything. So he gave 27 of his daughters in marriage to the moon god, Somadev or Chandradev. Now as it happened, Chandradev was partial to one of his wives, Rohini Devi. Now you can imagine what will happen. That the other 26 were not happy naturally. So they tolerated for some time. And when it became difficult to tolerate any more, so they complained to their father, Lord Shiva. I beg your pardon, Daksha Prajapati. So Daksha Prajapati became very angry and he cursed the moon god that he will have a disease of consumption. And so the moon's body started withering, moon god's body. He became weak and he lost his luster. And it was getting worse and worse. And the moon god was at a loss to know what to do. Finally, he resolved, let me go to take shelter of Lord Shambhu, Lord Shiva. He is very kind and very merciful. And surely he will give me shelter and protect me. So he went to Lord Shiva and said, I am yours. I surrender to you. Please protect me. Please give me shelter. So Lord Shiva, being very kind-hearted and a protector of surrendered souls, he easily gave him shelter and he placed the moon on his head. It was a full moon on his head. So from that day on, he became known as Chandrashekhar. Now that's not the end of the story. Because when the moon god went away and started residing on the head of Lord Shiva, now the wives of the moon god became very anxious. Oh, we made a mistake complaining to our father. and now see what has happened. So this is a good instruction for family life. Better to keep quarrels within the family, sort it out. The more people you involve, the more complicated everything becomes, yes? So then they wondered what to do now. We have lost our husband, he has gone. So we complained about him, and then our father cursed our husband, and look, so many things have happened. Now we have lost our husband. So they were mourning like this, and they went running back to their father, Daksha Prajapati. So Daksha Prajapati said, oh, this is a cause of concern. And Lord Shiva has done this. Oh, so I better go to Lord Shiva. Because you see, Lord Shiva is also his son-in-law. Because one of his other daughters was Sati, and Sati was married to Lord Shiva. Sati later became Durga or Parvati. She was born as the daughter of the Himalayas. So Daksha Prajapati went in a huff to Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva was very humble and very kind. So Daksha Prajapati softened up a little bit. You see, when the person in front of you is angry, you should become quiet. That is the way it is. If both people become angry, then there will be big trouble. So when one person is angry, the other one should be quiet. Then automatically the other one also quietens down. That doesn't mean that now you should become angry. Not like that. But Lord Shiva was very expert in dealing with people. So he became very soft and humble. And Daksha Prajapati became pleased. He said, my dear Shiva, I am very happy with you. But I have one favor to ask from you. Please return my son-in-law. My daughters are in anxiety. And then Daksha Prajapati, as he was speaking, he started getting a little worked up. And he said, if you don't, then I will curse you. So Lord Shiva said, my dear Daksha Prajapati, I appreciate your points and I appreciate that your daughters are in distress. But you see, I have given shelter to the moon god. He came to me asking for shelter and my protection. Now how can I give him up? Because ever since he has come to me, he has attained long life. So therefore he is protected here. Otherwise he was getting very pained because of the disease of consumption. But now he is very secure and in good health. So I cannot give him up like that. He has surrendered to me. And the Daksha Prajapati became very angry. And he was about to curse Lord Shiva. At that time Lord Shiva remembered Lord Govinda, Lord Krishna. And as he remembered Krishna, then Krishna appeared in the form of a Brahmana. He appeared as a mediator. Oh, what has happened? What has happened? He came, yes. So he understood the situation. Okay. So Lord Shiva, see, you are such a great personality. You are an exalted Vaishnava. So, you see, when the other person is angry, you must be a little accommodating. And if he unnecessarily curses you, what is the point? You see, life is so precious. We must do anything to maintain our life. And so please cooperate with Daksha and give back his son-in-law to him. After all, you are also the son-in-law. So Lord Shiva again replied, see, it's like this. It is a question of principle that I have given my vow to protect him. The moon god has come to me in very difficult circumstances. Now how can I give him up like this? It is not possible for me to do that. Even if I lose my body, but I am bound by my vow that I will protect those who have come to my shelter. So now the Brahmana, who was actually Krishna, was in a dilemma. Then he sorted out the problem in the following way. He took half the moon that was not healthy and he returned it to Daksha Prajapati. And the other half remained on Lord Shiva's head. That remained healthy. So Lord Shiva therefore has half moon, right? A crescent, not even a half moon actually, it's a crescent. The crescent moon. That remains there ever shining. It's bright because it's always in good health. So moon god is happy, a part of him, to be on Lord Shiva's head. Chandra Mauli Chandra Shekhar. But the other part of the moon that was returned to Daksha Prajapati, when Daksha realized that, he is diseased. So what can I do? He came to Krishna, please help. He told the Brahmana. So then Krishna said, all right, I can't make a complete change, but I can make some adjustment. So for 15 days he will be bright, and for 15 days then he will become a little dark. So therefore you have the phases of the moon. You have the new moon, you have the full moon. So from that day on, this situation has happened. That is how Lord Shiva has come to be known as Chandra Mauli or Chandra Shekhara. So it shows his quality of kindness, how he is willing to give shelter to everyone. What to speak of demigods like the moon god? He gives shelter even to the Rakshasas, to the demons, to the ghosts and hobgoblins, to anyone and everyone. Another name for Lord Shiva is Bhutanath. The word Bhuta has several meanings. One of the meanings, the popular meaning, of course, you know what it is. Ghost. But the other meaning is, all living entities are called Bhutas. So, Lord Shiva is the Lord of all living entities and even of the ghostly beings. Why of the ghostly beings? Because he, as Lord Shiva, is in charge of the mode of ignorance. It's a very difficult job, very difficult service. Just like if in a prison, the prisoner or the warden has a difficult job, he has to handle all the criminals of the society. All the worst people come to him, right, of the society. So for Lord Shiva also, he has a very difficult job. All those living entities who are hopeless cases, who are ghostly beings, who have committed such sinful activities in the previous life that they have got the body of a ghost. Who gets the body of a ghost? Someone who has committed some very grave sin, like suicide or something terrible like that. They get the body of a ghost. Now a ghost, what can you do? Actually, this is not a good time to talk of ghosts this time of the night, but anyway, the subject is there. Lord Shiva will protect everybody, not to worry. He will take care. He is Bhutanath. So, in any case, so what should he do? These living entities also need to be delivered. They also need some shelter. Lord Krishna is very kind. He has made arrangements for delivering all the living entities in this world, including those who are most sinful. So Lord Shiva is delegated the very difficult task of taking care of all these ghosts and hobgoblins, bhuta, preta, pishacha and all that. The different ghostly entities. And that is why you will see he is in the crematorium ground. He smears his body with crematorium ash. And that is how sometimes some people criticize him. Daksha also used to criticize. Oh, what a son-in-law I have. He should be living in a nice ownership flat in a bungalow in Juhu. But instead he lives under a tree. He should be wearing the latest nice clothes, but he only smears crematorium ash on his body. So he's misunderstood like that. But that is Lord Shiva's function. That is his role. And therefore all the ghosts and hobgoblins, they follow him. And because they are following him, and because he is a great devotee of the Lord, somehow they are benefited, because they are obedient to him, and they worship him. Even though they don't understand Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, but because they are somehow or the other obedient to him, so they become benefited. So one becomes a ghost by committing suicide in the sense of destroying one's body. That is called material suicide. And one also commits spiritual suicide when one wants to merge the soul into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, the light, that emanates from the body of Krishna. That is also not a good thing. The individual jiva, the individual soul, is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And the relationship between the jiva and Krishna is one of love. So the jiva should serve Krishna eternally. Not that the jiva should want to merge into Krishna and become God. That is not possible. But nevertheless, because there are some jivas who desire like that, Krishna gives them the opportunity to merge into His bodily effulgence. The Nirakara Brahma, the Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti. So some of the Mayavadis who follow the Mayavad philosophy, they want to merge themselves into God. And their philosophy is that you are God and I am God and we are all God. So this is like a spiritual suicide. And Lord Shiva came to give such people shelter also. How is that? He came as Shankaracharya. His partial incarnation in this world is Adi Shankaracharya. Maya Vadam Asat Shastram Prachannam Baudham Uchyate. So he says, Kalo Brahmana Murtina, that in the age of Kali, I will come in the guise of a Brahmana, that is Shankaracharya. And I will preach this Asat Shastra, this false knowledge, this false philosophy that I am God and we are all God and we must merge into God. And this philosophy is called Mayavad. Prachannam Baudham Uchyate. It is covered Buddhism. What is Buddhism? Buddhism is actually an atheistic religion. Buddhism doesn't accept the existence of God. So, according to Buddhism, everything is Shunya. This is called Shunyavad. This is Buddhist philosophy. But Mayavad philosophy is just a covered form of Buddhism because Mayavad says there's only one reality, Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. And that Brahma Satya is impersonal light. So it's also like a form of covered Buddhism. So Lord Shiva tells Parvati that in Kali Yuga, I will come as Shankaracharya and I will preach this Asat Shastra for those who are so inclined towards spiritual suicide. So Lord Shiva is so kind. He gives shelter to those who do material suicide as well as those who want to do spiritual suicide. So this is Lord Shiva's situation. That is because of His kindness. And it is only a personal Lord Shiva who is so powerful that He can actually take care of all these ghosts and still not be affected. Can you imagine whole day sitting with ghosts every day? What is the position of somebody who even one ghost comes, there's so much trouble and Lord Shiva has to manage so many of them and He is not affected by it because He is so exalted. So that is His nature. He is always giving shelter to everyone and all living beings. Whoever comes to His shelter, He wants to give. He never refuses anybody. Therefore, He is known as very merciful. He is all auspicious and anyone who comes into contact with Lord Shiva will gradually be delivered. The story of how Ganga came to Mother Earth, also is a very nice story because Lord Shiva has an important role to play here. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of how there was a king called Sagar. His 60,000 sons, they offended sage Kapila and they were burned to ashes by the sage's powers. And when King Sagar came to know of this, he was very sad. His other son, Asamanjasa, tried but he couldn't do anything. But Asamanjasa's son Anshuman, he traced out where the ashes of his uncles were. And he approached Sage Kapila in great humility and Sage Kapila said, there's only one way to deliver your uncles and that is that Ganga, who is very pure, must flow down here. You must bring her from the higher planets, from the heavenly planets. So, Anshuman, he tried, but he was unsuccessful. Anshuman's son was Dilip. He tried. He was also unsuccessful. And Maharaj Dilip's son was Bhagirath. So Bhagirath Maharaj performed severe penances. And finally, Ganga Devi appeared. And she said, yes, I will appear. I will come down to earth. But there are two problems. You have to solve those problems, then I will come. What are those two problems? Number one, I am afraid that when I come down to earth, because my waters are very pure and they are capable of relieving everyone of sin, so everyone will come and bathe in my waters to get rid of their sin. And my water will be full of sin and it will be very difficult for me to bear that burden. Isn't that a fact? People go to the Ganga to get rid of their sins. But they don't go to get rid of their sinful tendency. They will go bathe in the Ganga, come out, commit sins, go back, take bath in the Ganga, come back again. So Ganga is fearing that it will be too much for me to bear the burden of so much sin. So you have to find a solution to this problem. Second problem is that my waters are very forceful. They are so powerful that no one except Lord Shiva will be able to hold me. So you have to get Lord Shiva to hold me when I come down. Otherwise my waters will just sweep away everything. Incidentally, Ganga Devi is a sister-in-law of Lord Shiva. Do you know how? Both are daughters of Himavan, the Himalayas. Himavan had two daughters. The older daughter was Ganga and the younger daughter is Uma or Durga, who later married Lord Shiva. So Ganga, at the request of the demigods, was then taken to the heavenly planets. And then from the heavenly planets now she had agreed to come down, but these were the conditions. So Bhagirath Maharaj was very intelligent. So he said to Ganga Devi, your first condition is easily possible to fulfill, because even though many sinful people will come and bathe in your waters, also many pure devotees of Lord Krishna will come to bathe. And when they come and bathe in your waters, the sins that have been deposited in your waters will get counteracted very easily. So Ganga Devi was satisfied. Okay, what about the next condition? So Bhagirath Maharaj said, all right, I will perform austerities to please Lord Shiva and request him to bear the flow of your waters when you come down. So Bhagirath performed austerities for many years, and because he is Ashutosh, Lord Shiva came and said, yes, Bhagirath Maharaj, what can I do for you? So he explained the situation. So Lord Shiva said, very fine, I will happily do it. So then Ganga was told that this has happened. So she started coming down and she rushed down. Now so far the episode, this is given in both the Ramayana as well as the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Ramayana there is some little extra information, interesting information, small tidbits of information that are not there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Ganga started flowing down from the heavenly planets towards the earth, she was in the euphoria of her power. Have you seen the Ganga flowing in the higher reaches of the Himalayas? When the flow is very strong? And this is nothing. This is just a small reflection of the power that Ganga has when she flows from the heavenly planets. She was flowing with tremendous force. And then in her mind, she became a little proud. She said, Lord Shiva is considered powerful, but when I come down, I will sweep even Lord Shiva away. And I will take him down to the lower planets, to Patala Loka. So we have already seen earlier, Sarvajna, Lord Shiva is partly Sarvajna. So he understood, oh, so this is what my sister-in-law has in mind. So some family politics happen sometimes a little bit. So okay, I will keep her humble. I will have to teach her a nice lesson to keep her humble now. So he opened his jata. You know, the jata is his matted locks. And he put it in such a way that Ganga would flow into the jata, into his locks of hair. So as soon as Ganga poured down, he arranged the locks in such a way that not a drop could spill out. And Ganga Devi inside was furiously trying to come out somehow or the other. But the locks, matted locks of hair were so powerful that not a drop came out. Lord Shiva was quietly, calmly sitting in meditation. Something going on above here. But he was least concerned. He is absorbed in dhyan, thinking about his worshipable Lord Krishna. Shiva was peaceful, but Bhagirath Maharaj was getting nervous. So a second time he performed austerities. Lord Shiva says, my dear son, what do you want? He said, you know, Ganga, you please release. Please release her. So by this time Ganga Devi also had become little humble. So then she flowed down gently. Even though she flowed gently, still from the earthly standards it was quite powerful. She came down because Shiva is in Kailash, in modern day Tibet. And there the waters that came out of the Ganga formed the Bindu Sarovar. And from there she split into seven branches and went in different directions. One of those branches today is known as the main Ganga. The river that we call Ganga is the main branch. Another branch was the Sindhu River, Indus. And the third branch, the main branch, was the Brahmaputra. And plus there are four other branches that branched out. In this way Ganga started flowing down, and then she went all the way down, and in front Bhagirath was riding his chariot and she was following, because Bhagirath Maharaj wanted to lead her all the way to Ganga Sagar, what is commonly called Ganga Sagar in Bengal, the junction of the sea and Bengal. That's where the ashes of his forefathers were lying. So Ganga followed behind Maharaj Bhagirath as he drove his chariot. And then finally when the waters of the Ganga touched the ashes, then the souls of those forefathers were delivered. Maharaj Bhagirath was now a satisfied man. Of course many other adventures happened in that way, but that's a different story. We won't get into that now. So this is how Lord Shiva plays a useful role, such an important role in getting Ganga here. Imagine if Ganga was not on Mother Earth, what would we have done? So when you see a picture of Lord Shiva, you will see not only the crescent moon, you will also see the water of Ganga flowing out. So the very word Lord Shiva means auspicious. And Shiva has become even more auspicious, because he has taken the Charanamrit of the Lord on his head. Ganga is the Charanamrit, isn't it, of the Lord. She has come into this world washing the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadev during the Vamana Leela, when Lord Vamanadev extended his toe and pierced the coverings of the universe, and the waters of the Viraja, they actually touched his feet and they came into the higher planets. That is Ganga actually. So Ganga is Charanamrit, waters that have, nectarian waters that have touched and washed the lotus feet of the Lord. And this Lord Shiva bears on his head. Actually we chant a similar mantra when we take Charanamrit also, no? What is that verse? Akala Mrityu Haranam Sarva Roga Vinashanam Vishnur Padodakam Pitva Shirasa Dharayamyaham. Right? That Charanamrit, it takes away the possibility of untimely death, it destroys diseases, and therefore I take with great honor the Padodaka, the water that has washed the feet of Lord Vishnu, I take it on my head with great respect after drinking it. So Lord Shiva has accepted, Shirasa Dharayami, he has accepted on his head the waters that have washed the feet of the Lord. So he has become even more auspicious. So how can anything about Lord Shiva be inauspicious, even though he seems inauspicious? He is in the crematorium ground. Around his neck there are serpents. Sometimes he wears garlands of skulls. He has crematorium ash on his body, surrounded by ghosts and hobgoblins. But still, Lord Shiva remains what his name indicates, all auspicious. Lord Shiva ki jai. We will continue more about Lord Shiva tomorrow. We'll leave some time now, about 15 minutes for questions. So in case, and if you have questions, please raise your hands so that we can discuss them. Yes. And by the way, because Lord Shiva has borne Ganga on his head, he is called Gangadhar. Yes? It's another name of Lord Shiva. You have to switch on the mic, I think.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful lecture on Lord Shiva. The question is that you told that Lord Shiva is formed when Lord Vishnu comes in contact with the mode of ignorance.
Lord Vishnu doesn't come in contact with mode ignorance, okay, with the mode of ignorance. But when Vishnu sees the need to be in contact with the mode of ignorance, he takes the form of Lord Shiva. Okay, but so he's milk and curd. Remember that example. Yes? Okay.
So the question is that is Lord Shiva transcending the three or not?
Is Lord Shiva transcending the three modes of nature or not? When he is a Mahabhagavat pure Vaishnava, then he is. But when he is in the office performing his official function, then some touch is there. Some little touch is there at that time. Okay? Because of the very nature of his service. Alright? Yes.
Seems to be
yes, indeed. That is what the question is, that everyone in Lord Shiva's family has a contradictory nature. How do they manage to live together? That is the glory of Lord Shiva. Srila Prabhupada one time said, it is easier to run an empire than to run a family. Yeah, you have to deal with so many things. So that is Lord Shiva's expertise. He knows how to manage his family. Okay, any other question? Yes, here's some question.
Hello. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sir, my question is, all these demigods are not the jivas with a varying degrees of contamination of Maya?
Yes. The demigods mostly are jivas and often they are very exalted souls. But sometimes they also come under the influence of some Maya. That happens, yes.
My second question is continued with this. If they try and take rebirths in this world, and remove those deficiencies, will they not become gods?
Will they not become gods? No, you can never. They can become demigods, that's a different thing, but they cannot become God with a capital G. That God with capital G is only Krishna or Vishnu, nobody else.
My third question is, what is the differentiation between jivas, demigods and God? Can you differentiate? Which way we can differentiate?
Jivas, as I mentioned earlier, are very tiny parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The demigods mostly are very empowered, very qualified, pious jivas who have been elevated to that position by the mercy of Lord Krishna. And God is the supreme controller of all, Lord Krishna. Okay? Yes.
Prabhuji, in Bhagavatam, five types of salvations are described.
Yes.
Like Sayujya, Salokya, like that.
Right.
And the meaning of Mahamrityunjaya mantra of Lord Shiva also says something about the salvation of human. The full translation for the benefit of others I am reciting. We worship three-eyed Shiva, the Lord who is fragrant and nourishes and grows all beings. As the ripened cucumber is liberated from its bondage to the creeper, may He, Lord Shiva, liberate us from death for the sake of immortality. This is the translation of Mahamrityunjaya mantra. So through this Mahamrityunjaya mantra, what sort of salvation He gives out of these five salvations?
The Mahamrityunjaya mantra is mostly chanted by His worshippers. But as Vaishnavas, our acharyas have taught us that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is sufficient. We respect, while we glorify and respect Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, worship of Lord Shiva and the chanting of mantras related to Him are not our primary sadhana and not our primary worship. Our primary worship remains to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Nitai, Radha Krishna, like that. That is our primary process. So we do not actually accept this as a regular practice in our sadhana. Alright?
Those who are doing this, what type of liberation they will get? That is my question.
You see, Lord Shiva cannot give complete liberation of His own accord. Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur eva na sanshayah. So mukti can be given only by Mukunda. The word Mukunda comes mukti. Mukti pradata. Mukunda. So only Krishna or Vishnu can give mukti. Lord Shiva on His own accord cannot give mukti. Right? So the worshippers of Shiva, they can attain to Shiva Loka. That's the most they can attain. Yesterday I narrated the story of King Chitrabhanu and Shivaratri. So they can attain to that level. Alright?
And another book I had read that Yamraja's boss is Lord Shiva. So when there is some dispute about the one soul to be taken to Yamlok, Lord Shiva can interfere or intervene. So is it true like that he can control Yamraja?
Generally, Yamaraj is Lord and Master is Krishna. Yamaraj and Lord Shiva both are Mahajans. In that sense, they are equals as devotees of the Lord. Yamaraj is also a great devotee of the Lord. So, in the episode of Ajamil, we know that Yamaraj didn't go to Lord Shiva, but he was glorifying Lord Krishna as his worshipable Lord. And because Ajamil happened to mention his Lord's name, so Ajamil had this person released, or Yamaraj's people were forced to release Ajamil because the Vishnu Dutas intervened. So Yamaraj's Lord is not Shiva, but Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, at the back. Anybody here? Yes, one. Okay. One question here and then over there.
Hare Krishna.
Please don't switch off the mic when you finish with it, otherwise...
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, is there any connection between Shiva of this material world and Sadashiva?
Is there any connection between Shiva of this material world and Sadashiva? Okay. You see, I didn't go into too many technical details. There is much more to say on these matters. But Lord Krishna has many forms in Vaikuntha Loka. And they are all four armed forms, Narayan forms. And one of these Narayan forms is Sadashiva, who is Vishnu. Now this Sadashiva expands himself in the material creation as Lord Shambhu, who is the husband of Maya. And then from there all the universes are created. And this Shambhu is also sometimes referred to as Sadashiva, although he is coming from that original Vishnu Sadashiva. And then this Shambhu comes into each universe as Lord Shiva. So just as in every universe there is a Lord Brahma, similarly in every universe there is a Lord Shiva, and there are unlimited universes, so there are unlimited Lord Brahmas, unlimited Lord Shivas, and they all come from all the Shivas come from Shambhu. So when the universes are destroyed at the end of Brahma's life, then all these Shivas will go back to Shambhu. Again at the time of the next creation, again it will start like that. Alright? He is not eternal, but he is marginally there. He is there as Shambhu. As Shambhu, he is in the marginal position. Otherwise, Lord Shiva, when he is in the material world, he doesn't remain, because he then goes back into Shambhu. Okay? Yes, one question here. Lord Shiva is the father of Lord Krishna? No. No. Lord Shiva is not the father of Lord Krishna. He is in fact a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Clarification. As you said, like, we should not generally partake the remnants of demigods. My question is, like, sometimes it happens, like, there are people, like, you know, who comes with the prasad, and if you consider that prasad as, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, demigod as the part and parcel of Lord, and if you are partaking the remnants of demigod, then what do you say on
The question is that if we receive the food that has been offered to demigods, then if we consider that the demigods are servants of Krishna, and in that spirit we accept it, then is it not all right? That is the question, isn't it? Now, it is good that we consider the demigods as servants of Krishna. They are all Vaishnavas actually also. But as with Shiva, they also wear this demigod hat, where they have to fulfill the desires of their worshippers. Now, it's good that we think the demigods are servants of Krishna, but the question is, what is the opinion or the conception of the person who has offered that food to the demigods? That is the main point. So the person who is eating, that is fine, that is good. But what is also important is that what is the conception of the person who has actually offered the food? Does he think that the demigods are part and parcel of Krishna? Or does he think that this demigod I am worshipping, Ganapati, is the supreme? For example, or Durga is supreme. Is that the consciousness? Then it is not acceptable. If the devotee of Krishna has offered something to the demigods, in that spirit, that's something we may accept. In Jagannath temple, for example, when the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath comes out, it is first given to Bimala Devi, who is a form of Durga. she gets the Mahaprasadam of Krishna, of Jagannath. Then it comes to her. After she has taken, then it is distributed to everyone. So we get the Mahaprasad. Similarly, the Prasad, the Mahaprasad of Lord Krishna, when it is offered to Lord Shiva, then, and after that we accept it, that becomes Mahaprasad, and that is very nice. So we'll talk a little bit of that tomorrow when we talk of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan. Alright? Yes.
People say that when a person is on his deathbed, and if you do Mahamrityunjay Jap of 1,25,000 times, that person gets a new lease of life. Is it due to the mercy given, granted by Lord Shiva, or it's Lord Krishna's mercy that he gets a new lease of life?
See, Lord Shiva's mercy is not independent of Lord Krishna. Lord Shiva's mercy is coming because of the potency given to him by Lord Krishna. And even if the person gets a new lease of life, the question is that still one day we are going to die, then we will have to be born again. But when the Vaishnavas chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we get liberated. That gives a permanent solution to the problem of birth and death. We go back to Krishna's abode in the spiritual world. We don't take birth again. So why to chant any other mantra when Lord Krishna's holy names are there for us to chant? So we simply focus on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's all. No need to complicate matters by taking so many mantras. Mantras are many, but this is the Maha Mantra. Okay? So it is 9 o'clock now. Further questions we can take tomorrow after the lecture. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Today prasadam is there in first floor. So everyone is requested to...
If the devotee, the person who is offered yoga, Shiva, any other devotee,